The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has this to say about the planet of Golgafrinchen. It is a planet with an ancient and mysterious history, rich in legend, red and occasionally green with the blood of those who sought in times gone by to conquer her. A land of parched and barren landscapes, of sweet and sultry air, heady with the scent of the perfumed springs that trickle over its hot and dusky rocks and nourish the dark and musky lichens beneath. A land of fevered brows and intoxicated imaginings, particularly amongst those who taste the lichens. A land also of cool and shaded thoughts amongst those who have learned to forswear the lichens and find a tree to sit beneath. A land also of steel and blood and heroism. A land of the body and of the spirit. This was its history. And in all this ancient and mysterious history, the most mysterious figures of all were without doubt those of the great circling poets of Arium. These circling poets used to live in remote mountain passes where they would lie in wait for small bands of unwary travellers, circle round them and throw rocks at them. And when the travellers cried out, saying why didn't they go away and get on with writing some poems instead of pestering people with all this rock-throwing business, they would suddenly stop and then break into one of the 794 great song cycles of Vasilian. These songs were all of extraordinary beauty and even more extraordinary length, and all fell into exactly the same pattern. The first part of each song would tell how there once went forth from the city of Vasilian a party of 5 sage princes and 4 horses. The princes, who are of course brave, noble and wise, travel widely in distant lands, fight giant ogres, pursue exotic philosophies, take tea with weird gods, and rescue beautiful monsters from ravening princesses before finally announcing that they have achieved enlightenment and that their wanderings are therefore accomplished. The second and much longer part of each song would then tell of all their bickerings about which one of them is going to have to walk back. All this lay in the planet's remote past. It was, however, a descendant of one of these eccentric poets who invented the spurious tales of impending doom which enabled the people of Golgafrinchen to rid themselves of an entire useless third of their population. The other 2/3 stayed firmly at home and lived full, rich and happy lives until they were all suddenly wiped out by a virulent disease contracted from a dirty telephone. That night the ship crash-landed on an utterly insignificant little blue-green planet which circled a small, unregarded yellow sun in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy. In the hours preceding the crash, Ford Prefect had fought furiously, but in vain, to unlock the controls of the ship from their preordained flight path. It had quickly become apparent to him that the ship had been programmed to convey its payload safely, if uncomfortably, to its new home, but to cripple itself beyond all hope of repair in the process. Its screaming, blazing descent through the atmosphere had stripped away most of its superstructure and outer shielding, and its final inglorious belly flop into a murky swamp had left its crew only a few hours of darkness during which to revive and offload its deep-frozen and unwanted cargo, for the ship began to settle almost at once, slowly upending its gigantic bulk in the stagnant slime. Once or twice during the night it was starkly silhouetted against the sky, as burning meteors, the detritus of its descent, flashed across the sky. In the grey pre-dawn light, it let out an obscene roaring gurgle and sank forever into the stinking depths. When the sun came up that morning, it shed its thin, watery light over a vast area, heaving with wailing hairdressers, public relations executives, opinion pollsters and the rest, all clawing their way desperately to dry land. A less strong-minded sun would probably have gone straight back down again, but it continued to climb its way through the sky, and after a while the influence of its warming rays began to have some restoring effect on the feebly struggling creatures. Countless numbers had, unsurprisingly, been lost to the swamp in the night, and millions more had been sucked down with the ship, but those that survived still numbered hundreds of thousands, and as the day wore on, they crawled out over the surrounding countryside, each looking for a few square feet of solid ground on which to collapse and recover from their nightmare ordeal.